Now, someone came in here this morning. I know you walked in, you drove in. But you had a desire on your heart that you need $20. You've been asking the Lord for it. Is that someone here? Is that you? Raise your hand up. I don't think God would tell me this if it wasn't somebody here that had a financial need this morning. No one came in here thinking, boy, I'm on fumes. That I just ain't going to make it. Yell, is that you? Well, if it is, be obedient. Raise your hand up. Thank you very much. Come up here. Come up here. Don't ever be bashful when God says something and it's you. Understand that? You have not because you've asked not. Okay? Now, we all have good times of the month and bad times of the month, don't we? Yeah. We have times we're eating maybe filet mignon chan. That's Chinese. Some days we're eating hamburger, and the other day we're eating turkey hot dogs, okay? All there, okay? Okay, prime rib, there you go. But God uses us to meet the needs of other people, and we can't be bashful about it. So this is my question to the congregation. Who has $20 for Gail? She says, sister, first hand up. You have it? Bring it down. We'll wait for you. No problem. I'm really blessed at the number of hands that went up there. That's fantastic. But see, what God has shown this morning, and this isn't an earth-shattering message this morning, it's an encouraging message, is that God meets our needs. And a lot of times, those needs are right within us to help others. Sometimes we say this word, oh, God works in mysterious ways, but it's only mysterious to those who don't need, that don't know Him.
Right.
Look at this. There you go, sister. All right. Praise God. All right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did that. Amen. Amen. Okay, have a seat, sister. There you go. God has a way of doing that. He really does. Bob Donnelly, come down here a second, please. I want you to do something for me. Now, don't get lost in this today, guys. I tried to put it together the best as I could, as God led me to do. I want you to take this $20 bill, okay? And I want you to take it over. Oh, I want you to give it. I want you to give it to Cindy Herra back here, okay? And you have a seat when you're done. When I'm all done today, this all come together, please. Okay, so don't get... please, don't let, if you're visiting today, we're not a money church. We don't, you know... Money's nice, God, okay? But it's more than that. Now, Sydney, I need you to come down here. Bring that 20 with you. I need you to give it to that young man sitting on the edge there. I don't remember your name, sir. Nothing like coming to Charlie Church the first time getting point. Will you give it to him, please? Come here, Charlie.
Oh, man.
You don't get attached to it. So you were the third person? Okay, Charlie. The gentleman there with the ball cap on. Don't know your name. I forget your name. I baptized you. Todd? I'm sorry, Tom. Terrible. We should have nameplates. I've had a nameplate with my wife. Will you give that to Todd, please, and have a seat? 2, 3, okay. Come here, Todd. Now, Todd, I want you to go right around here and give it to Jack. Yeah, Jack, the one that got the beard. He's the one that's driving Marvin around. Okay, you saw that? Give it to Jack. Jim Domer, come down here, please. Have a seat, Jim. I know you're tired, buddy. Now, Jack, I want you to bring that $20 down here. Stay right there, 1 second. Everybody see Jack standing there. I've asked Jack. He's the only person I talked to this morning was Jack. Now, Jack has been told to bring the $20 down here to my brother.
Right.
Okay? And he's being obedient to it. He knows it. My brother has a need. Can you use $20, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
I know you can. I can too, brother. Never be afraid to admit that. But look what's in his obstacle right now. Can you guys see him? He's got people sitting in the row right now. And Jim is down here. God, I need that $20. You know that. I should have raised my hand earlier. But he has that need. And he's saying, God, where's it at? Well, if I said this, God, whatever is blocking this $20 to come in my life, or this need that I have, I want it to be removed. Okay? So I would speak that out and say that. And again, I'll tie this all in as we go today. But it's still not here yet. Man, it's not... God, I know I've been faithful to you. I've done all you told me to do. God, I got this need. I'm not giving up. Oh, wait a second. Now, the row that Jack's in, I want it to move, but it's still sitting there. Okay? I generically said, okay, the row that Jack's in, I want it to move. Well, just maybe, our sister there, I'm terrible with names, honey. You might not know who Jack is. Carol, I know. I'm terrible. I know. So you're sitting there. And I'm saying, well, the row that Jack's in, I want you to move for Jack and get through the row. She doesn't know Jack, so she's sitting there. Okay? Now, hang on a second, Carol. Hang on. Have a seat. Or maybe it's your row, Paul Garner. But you know Jack. I know that. But when I say, okay, what's holding this back? Charlie, get up and move. Carol, up and move now. Lori Bacon, get up and move now. Thank you, Lori. Aaron, get up and move against that wall. Get. Now, Jack.
Awesome.
There you go. Have a seat. Jim, that's yours to keep. You don't pass it on. Have a seat. The rest of you have a seat again. And Lori and Aaron, you go back where you came from. Back where you came from now. I actually come up here. I needed a road to be plugged a little bit to demonstrate this, okay? I'm not a very good count, I guess, at times. But we sit here and... Two things I want to demonstrate here. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 19. In verse 17. And God tells us, and he speaks to the church today. This is today, and remember this. He who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord. It's Proverbs 19, verse 17. He who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. Okay. That's not the pastor saying this. This is what God tells you. Okay. He who gives to the poor is lending to God, and what God do, he'll repay you. Amen. Okay. Now earlier, and I don't have enough with me, but those of you that I called, and I said, huh? Yeah, go get another one, will you, hon? One more I need. Those of you, not for Carol, I remember your name already, but those who I had come up here, and one way or another, you held that $20 bill before Brother Jim got it. Raise your hand. One, two, three. There's four of you. Five of you all together. Yes. Yes, Mother, one more. For a short period of time, you had that $20 in your hand, and now, when did you get the point, oh man, this is mine? I mean, it's awesome because Cindy Harris put hers in her purse. Amen? Hey, she's got it, okay. But what happened when I said, okay, Cindy, bring that $20 bill up? She brought it right down. Now, it is still a 20, right? It's not a 5? But you can't, or a 1. But you brought it right down to me. Now, you could have argued with me. Hey, it's mine now. I can do whatever I want to with it. And I gave it to you. I mean, you could have took that $20 bill, went out the front door. I'm not going to catch you. But you're listening and you're obedient. And you pass it on. Finally, the whole thing was that God... God wanted to get $20. He wanted to get a blessing to Jim today. In order to get to him, it went through five different people. The last one, poor Jack, he couldn't get out of the seat and make it through the hall, make it down here. We had to say, well, I want the road to move out. And you guys just sat there. You didn't really, but you did. You followed me on this. But when I called you name by name, get out, you moved, and the blessings came.
Yes.
Sometimes when we get so close, Brother Jim, you are that close to getting your blessing. Two things could have happened. You could have gave up. I'm not sitting here anymore. I'm embarrassed sitting here in front of all these people. And you could have walked away. Or Brother Jack could have said, it's just too hard. I can say this because he says it all the time. The one-legged guy you pick on here, on crutches, and you expect me to do this? Why not pick on the cookie maker behind her?
On the other one-legged guy.
No, well, the other one, yes. Put you guys together. Why not have Opal bring it down, okay? Well, Opal's calling in life a lot of times is the cookie and baking. But it was in your hand. And we made a provision to get it down here. So, raise your hand again, those who were part of this. Raise your hand up. One, two, okay, Jim, put your hand down, okay? Two, four, and, okay. Part of Jack's, not part of Carol and Gail, you're out of it. So raise your hand again. Charlie? All right. This passed through your hand. See? God says, and you did too, young man, right? Who else was it? Bob and Cindy. And no, don't think I'm abusing your tithe money, okay? But look what you did. God says that when you lend to the poor, you lend to him and he'll repay you. Now listen, he didn't say he'd multiply it. He said he'll repay you. I understand that, okay? So when God wants to get something to someone else, he'll lay it upon your heart to do that. And you do that. Did everyone get one that was involved with Jack? Jack, did you get one? Okay, I'm sorry. And it took a while to get it there. I'll find the verse for you later on. I had it written down, but I got the wrong one down. But he says also this. He says, by the measure that you give, you shall receive. So the same cup that you give out with, you'll receive it, but it'll be pressed down and overflowing. Amen?
Amen.
Follow me on that. So you got lending to the poor. You know, when I give the poor, God said, I'll get back to you. Why would I get back to you? Because you're his hands, his feet. What we have in our pockets is his, okay? He just wants us to be obedient to us. You see, you give it as he tells us to. Again, as he tells you to, please, don't walk down the street after church and start passing out $20 bills. What I'm saying is because if God hasn't called you to do that, you might be feeling something of destruction. Somebody take that $20, it could be the worst thing they ever received because they might fall into temptation with that. Okay? You follow me on that?
Yeah.
But as you're obedient, and again, I go back to, I'm so blessed. I can't find anybody that said they needed 20. But so many people wanted to give 20. God bless you, every one of you. Sister, your hand went up first. So sometimes he says it's multiplied to give back to you. So your $20 bill for giving turned into a $100 bill. I'm serious. And it's to God be the glory. It's to God be the glory. Understand that. Again, you guys knocked me off my feet this morning because when the Lord laid it on my heart last night at the altar to do this, I figured I had 15 people wanting a 20. And I thought, well, Lord, should I put a 20 in my pocket in case no one has one to give? And of course, I didn't. I trusted the Lord. So there's no money in my pockets. And you guys are so giving. Wait, sister. Okay.
I had a 50 for bills.
Okay.
Somewhere along the line, the 50 left, and I was left with 23.
Mm.
I mean, I can't figure out how it happened, but it happened.
Well,
oh,
God's awesome. He must do then. Amen? Amen. Again, God knows our needs before we do. Okay? God meets our needs before we do. So, the sister testifying there, then he must have knew. He put you in the right chair, right place, because, I mean, I always go by eyesight, you know. It could have been Fred, it could have been anybody else sitting there, but he put you there, so to God be the glory on this. You have not because you've asked not. And folks, don't ever, ever be ashamed to ask God for anything. And then when he brings it to you, don't have pride raise up and say, oh, no thanks. You know. Don't. Please, understand that. Because as he gets to you, who knows, some of you got $20 today. You think, well, Pat, God, I really don't need this 20, you know. Maybe it's not for you. Think of that. He might bring someone to your mention, you know. You might have came in the day and said, well, God, I was asking for 20. I just needed $10 for the kids for lunches next week. Well, there you go. You got 10 for the lunches, then you got 10 for a bonus. Well, God's going to bring someone into your life and sow this $10. Now, we have to rely on God. And as we get closer to these times that we're living in, we need to trust Him more and love one another enough. Because I heard something, and I'll share, and I know the person didn't know, they don't understand. But a gentleman came here one time, and met well, and he gave me meat for the church. Oh, best hamburger I had in my life. He said, I want to give it to you guys, because I was given it somewhere else, at another mission field somewhere. He said, I went there, I watched one day, I just sat back. As he's giving this out, and he was 1 pound package. I mean, oh man. He said, them people was coming out of that mission place, going around the corner. Some of them got in, not Rolls Royce, what do you call them, little BMWs? Some of them got in some other different vehicles and stuff. He said, I ain't wasting my stuff. I want where it can be used the most. And right then, the quicken in me came up and said, my lands. Have you ever fell on hard times? Can you not be making a payment on BMW? And you're tithing off the job that you have? And for some reason, in the course of time, your job is gone? You're driving the BMW on fumes now because that's all you have. And you need food. But he didn't see the picture. And once I described it to him, I'm not sure whether he understood or not. God knows our need. The guy in the BMW could say, well, I can't go down there. He could let pride get in his way of going down and receiving what he needed for himself or even for his family. And we cannot allow that to take place. You ever been down on rock bottom and come back up again? Amen. 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 And we go up and down, up and down. So we don't want to judge by appearances. Okay? We reverse that. I know people that you would look at today and you would want to give them that $5 bill or $10 bill you have in your pocket. And that person could, what they would call, buy or sell either one of us here. Just by the way, but people look where they're dressed. So we do the opposite at times too. So, and I had to eat crow one time as your pastor. I'll tell you this. Had a gentleman through the food thing here a couple of years ago came in and he ate. He came back to see me. And he was dressed like, I mean, really, really, really bad. I mean, just, boom. Looked like he really had a need. Let me put it that way. He came back. He said, here, Pastor, I want to give you some money. He offered me $7 for the meal. I said, oh, nah, you don't have to do this. Is my money good enough? Oh, my gosh. I didn't mean it that way. I mean, this is a free lunch, but he wanted to bless the ministry. I said, well, of course, he wasn't blessing the pastor. He was blessing the ministry of the Lord. And as you sow into the ministry of the Lord, It'd be like coming to you and say, your garden's piled up. Pat, I got some seed I'm going to put into it. Oh, no, thank you. No, plant it. Let it grow. And so I preached to myself, guys. You know what I'm saying? We have to learn that. And God finds different ways of meeting our needs. And so it's either sometimes through us, with others, or others to us. But we always need to be alert to that. Now I want you to go to the book of Daniel for a minute. I want to read through here. Book of Daniel is in the Old Testament, in between Genesis and Revelations.
Oh, yeah.
And that's about as close as I can get it. I know. Everybody think, boy, that pastor's a Bible scholar. But I'm going to read this to you, and we'll tie it in. And then we have testimony, and we'll be done for the day. But the main thing to encourage you guys today is that God will meet us. He already sees the needs that we have. As we stay faithful to Him, don't give up. And He'll meet those needs. And we honor Him. I'm chapter 10, verse 1. Make sure I'm in the right place. Yeah, chapter 10 of Daniel, verse 1. Now, what has happened, Brother Daniel has seen a vision. He's seen a lot of things that are going to take place. He's troubled. He don't know what to do. I mean, he don't quite understand these things. He has a need to understand. So what does he do? He's going to pray. He's going to seek God. So again, this is, to put it in a nutshell, this is a man that has a need. He don't know what to do. So what do? We take it to God, right? Verse 1, chapter 10 says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named, help me, Mama,
Belshazzar.
Amen, sister. And the message was true and one of great conflict. But he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. In those days, he says, I, Daniel, have been mourning for 3 entire weeks. 21 days he's been mourning. He's been in prayer. He just something is eating at him. He had a need that had to be met for 21 days. He says, I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. Stop. This man is fasting. Okay? He said he did not eat any tasty food. So he at least to believe he is consuming food, but it's not tasty. It's sustaining. He bring in liquid, but he's not drinking of the wine, which would be tasty. He's sustaining his body. He is fasting for 21 days. So, and on the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Abhaz. His body also was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze. And the sound of his words like the sound of a trumpet.
We just had that Thursday night.
Amen. This is what Daniel is seeing now on his last day of his 21 days, on the 21st day of the fasting. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. They were not a believer, okay? They don't understand the things of God. And so what he saw from the Lord was scaring the people not of God, and they ran away. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me. For my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. It went to a gray. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me, and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. So here he is. He's been fasting, seeking the understanding. He had a need. God sent his angel to him. Now here he's standing in front of him. He's scared. He's shaking. Then he said to me, Daniel says, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day, what did he say? From the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God. First day, humbling yourself before your God. Your words were heard, and I have come in response to your word. That's why your prayers have been heard. On the very first day, he says, very first day, I have been sent to you. But he says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia will withstand me for 21 days. He's saying, the road was full of people, and Jack could not get through. This is what he's saying. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. He needed help. Mm-hmm. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. He's saying, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the future. And folks, we are in that future today. Yeah. This revelation is now revealed to us. This is, and it's all come about because a man seeking God in a circumstance fasted and prayed until he got the answer. He did not give up. And when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And behold, the one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him who was standing before me, O my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. Took everything out of him. Mm-hmm. Everything out of him. Then this one of human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. Woo. And he said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Yes. Then he said, do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I am going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writings of truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince, or Michael, the archangel. So what God is showing here today is that Daniel had a need. And he had to understand that need. He had to have that need fulfilled. So through prayer and fasting, 21 days, and he got the answer that he needed. He got the provision that he needed. What he was searching for, God made available to us. He says, you need wisdom? Acts of God. Did he not say that in the scriptures? He didn't say it would always be easy. God, I need wisdom. Oh, I don't understand this. Prayer and fasting to get an understanding. Well, the angel of the Lord is saying here, he's saying, the minute that you prayed, I had your answer. I was headed your way. But he said he was interfered with by demonic forces trying to stop him. And he had to battle them. But what was taking place at the same time as the angel of the Lord was battling the forces of evil? Daniel was praying and fasting. Hear me out here, church. Daniel was praying and fasting. It could be, oh God, I don't know what's wrong. What's going on? So you go to prayer and you go to fasting. And you think, well, did the prayer and fasting strengthen his angel? An angel is an angel. He's empowered by God. But the Word of God tells us, resist the devil, and he must flee. Amen? Yes. Resist the devil, and he must flee. So as the forces are fighting, going against him, trying to get the answer to us, through prayer and fasting, it weakens the enemy. For the angels of the Lord who's been set beside us to battle for us can overcome with trying to keep the blessings from God from us. Daniel fasted 21 days, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, why did he not fast 15 days? Well, why didn't he fast 30 days? Don't answer, Mom. Seriously. Why did he fast 21 days? A lot of times people say, well, I'm going to go on a 21-day fast and see what happens. The reason Daniel fasted 21 days, and she said it, it took 21 days for the prince of darkness to be defeated and for the answer to come through. Amen?
Amen.
If it would have came in 10 days, he would stop prayer and fasting. He wouldn't have to. He got it.
Yeah.
If on the 21st day he hadn't had it, then we would say Daniel fasted for 22 days, 23 days, 24 days. And actually today, what's moving in our hearts causing us to fast and pray? Listen to what God is saying. He's ringing a siren. He's letting off a siren, ringing a bell. Wake up, church. He's telling us to wake up. Wake up. The days of a 2-second prayer, the day of getting up, hey God, I'm up this morning, thank you, and go on your way. It's over with. It's over with. The church of God has been called back to our knees. He's calling us back to be warriors. He's calling us back to prayer and fasting. I know right now, through some heads of a pastor, I cannot fast because I'm on a spiritual diet. Some of us are. Okay? We are. But inside that realm, you have an option of what you can eat. Eat what you hate, divorce. I mean, I have it once in a while, I fast sometime at 2 in the afternoon, and a lot of you know this. I have a sugar fluctuation. I don't have sugar, but I need to eat something. I shared this before. I have a choice a lot of times. I have an Opal no-bake cookie, which I love. Or sometimes I go back in the refrigerator and get a glass of orange juice. Well, if I'm fasting, it's the orange juice time. Because I don't want to take in anything that's pleasing to me, and God honors that. That strengthens me, strengthens my spirit, and I'm resisting the devil. Many says, oh, come on, Daryl, you said that you're going to fast at 6 o'clock today. It's 5:30. Come on. That's close enough. Well, you know, hamburgers are done now. Folks, continue on to 6 o'clock. That 30 minutes will make a difference in your life. It will make a difference in your life. And what happened here with my brother? Some of us are praying right now, and I know, and I was going to talk to him this morning, but he'd let me do this time and time and time again. So I share this knowing I have the complete authority and permission from my brother. Joe's not here this morning. Brother Joe is not here this morning. Where is he at? Where is he at? The Church of the Living God, where is Joe at this morning? Is he at home?
No.
We don't know. Okay, okay. We all know Joe, right? We all know what Joe struggled with. He'll testify to you. He struggled with alcoholism. You know, he testified many, many times. He called me during the week. Pastor, pray for me. And he'll let me share this. He's not here. How many of us noticed him missing before church started today? How many went down and knocked on his door? I tried calling him. I text him clear up to after 10 o'clock. He won't answer his phone. I can't leave and drive down there. But I'm saying this is what it takes in this time. Because Satan did whatever he can to divide us. Now, how many people are praying for Joe? Okay, fantastic. Are you praying? Are you fasting? Have you went 21 days yet? Have you went 30 days yet? I'm just listening. You know, I'm just bringing out here. We have to change our thought process. Oh, well, you know, and this is—I mean, it used to be all God. Just be with Joe today. Strengthen him today. Let him just give him the strength to have. We're ready for his faith to overcome the temptations. Amen. That ain't doing it. Just like Brother Jack, I called things one at a time, at a time, at a time. Get out of the road! And it had to move. Folks, the Church of Jesus Christ has to do that today. We are in these times where there are more demonic forces acting that you can shake a stick at. If you can see in the spirit realm right now, it'll scare you to death. But we have the power and the authority given to us in the name of Jesus Christ through that precious blood if we will take this fight seriously and get on our hands and our knees and we will fast a day, 2 days, 5 days, 10 days. I'm going to fast until the demon alcoholism is broken from your life. You're going to see things taking place. You will see them. But we got to have that commitment. Amen, guys? Okay, and I'm preaching to myself too. You understand that? We have to have that. If you have to take it, if God calls you to pray for me for a week, I'll give you a picture. Stick it on your refrigerator, inside your car, whatever it takes to remind you to pray for me. We do the same for one another. You know, guys, we all have great intentions. Amen? We do. You ever get a bed at night? Oh, man. I was going to call Opal today and check on her. God, I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm
all the time. So I have to. I found this thing. It's on my phone. It's called Notes. I write me a note now, and it'll go beep, beep, beep once in a while, and it reminds me. Hey, I know I forget a lot of stuff. That helps me. I write notes in my car. You ever see my office? Everywhere. I know that I have an issue at times. I get so busy I forget what the main things I want to do. So I'll put that note up. And folks, do the same thing. Amen? Do the same thing. Again, he's here to encourage the church today. Amen? Man, we're awesome. Your mama's dancing in the streets of gold. We're all going to be dancing one of these days, but there's more people he wants into the square dance or whatever type of the bump or whatever kind of dance you want to do in heaven.
Dancing in the spirit.
Dancing in the spirit. Okay. I like to say he's going to be dancing in the stars. We're above the stars, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
But we have to get to that point. And he's calling us to do that. You know, if you fast before for 6 hours, 8 hours, go ahead and go for 16 or 20. Again, medical conditions, sometimes you have to consume food. So do what the doctor tells you. But again, when you have that choice, take the bland stuff and continue in your fast. God recognizes that. Resist the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee. And sometimes it might be, well, I don't know, Pastor, I've been praying. I'll just say I'm not a pastor. I've been praying for Starkey for quite some time. Now I'm not getting no. I'm just like I'm hitting a brick wall. Okay, well, let's get it more concrete. What's in Starkey's life? Well, I don't know. He used to be a cop. Okay. Well, did he go to church? Well, he used to go to such and such church. Okay, well, we know that. Okay. You're going down the line. Okay, and then if you start praying, okay, well, the policeman, maybe he's got pride in. Maybe it's pride that, man, that he's a cop and all cops go to heaven. Let's just start praying against that spirit of pride that comes upon Starkey that keeps him from coming to church, okay? Starkey's drinking. Well, let's pray against that spirit of alcoholism that's in Starkey's life. And start praying against it and keep praying and fasting and start tearing down these little things that got people wrapped up. Again, we're going back to our brother in the burial cloth, okay? We're born again, but we're still wrapped up in some stuff. We need to start taking it down one by one by one. And the Bible says one of us can cause 1,000 demons to flee. Two of us, 10,000. Understand that. Understand that. So there's power in united prayer. And when we come to united prayer, I say, come on, brother, let's pray. Pray with me. I want you to pray in agreement with me. It's not saying I want to see how fast you can talk. Okay? Listen, guys. There's a time to ask God for stuff. There's time to take what He's given you and speak it out. Remember that. We know God saved, you know, save Starkey, save Starkey. She used to say all the time. Well, she didn't say it, but she could be saying, save Starkey. God's already saved me through Christ. It's God, I just pray right now that Starkey will receive that salvation that Jesus brought to the cross. Right now, God, I say, just take the things out of his life right now for preventing my husband to come and know you as Savior and Lord. God, whatever it might take, remove that. Is that a religious spirit he's got from years gone by? Has he been lied to over the years what it means to be a Christian? I just speak against that today in the name of Jesus Christ that we release from that. He shall receive the gifts of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. I declare that today. That's how we pray. Okay? Everybody with me yet? Okay? I know it's 11:30. That's that we had to war. There's a time we ask God, God, I need wisdom today. I need it was things that ask, either ask you shall receive. But when He's already given it to us, we have to use it. We have to come together. We need to pray together. You know, that's why Jesus said, my house will be a house of what?
Prayer.
A prayer. A house of prayer. Prayer moves things. Now I'm going to try to wrap things up here. Don't give up. Number one. If you heard this before, listen to it again. My wife over here prayed for me for 20 years after we got married to be born again. She prayed. But my wife was a very young Christian. She didn't know all the things to do. She maybe at one time saying, oh God, just save Starkey, just save Starkey. But as she matured in her salvation, the war got greater. As she saw the things that was keeping me back, she started speaking against them. And then, as she was praying, something happened to me. My will fell apart. Have you been praying for someone and it looks like it's getting worse than better? Okay? Keep praying. Because God knows what's best. At the time of my salvation, I was on top of the world. I'm a lieutenant. Great income. Great position, great family, great kids. 4 years from retirement, from growing my hair back, my shoulders, and grabbing me a Harley. I've said that before. My will was perfect. I had it made, Jack. I had no need. Everything, I was making good money. Several of us had it made. And folks, I've been a good, honest cop all my life. But we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But listen to what God calls to do. As I'm rowing down the stream of retirement in 4 years, God shook my life. He called somebody to raise up to run for the office of sheriff against my sheriff, against the guy I served with for 25 years, against the guy that I was planning on retiring with and a bunch of other ones. And when he did that, my world crumbled. Listen, I'm going to pour my heart out to you. I want you to be able to use this today. I had an administrative position, a fiduciary appointment. If you don't know what it means, I work and come and go by the sheriff. There's no union protection. There's no civil service protection. I can walk in there. I could walk in there any day and sheriff said, you're out of here. I don't like your mustache. I had no recourse. But here it is. A man is raising up to run for the office of the sheriff, and I'm the first one he's going to get rid of. First one. And my world crumbled. I'm telling you what. But thank God it did. Because of that, I heard that little preacher outside my office one day in the jail preaching to them inmates. In the prayers of my wife, after all these years, I went to the altar on January 2nd, 2000, humbled myself, and received Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Best thing ever happened. And you know what happened? That other guy got elected sheriff, but before he took office, he went to the state of Ohio. Now listen to this. He went to the state of Ohio. They have what they call an administrative facility. They have inspectors. And he went and talked to him about Starkey Lawrence. He said, you'd be a fool to get rid of him. He's the best one there is in the state of Ohio. So I maintained my position and retired. And I give God all the glory for that. But I say that today to you. If you're praying for someone and it's getting worse, or maybe you've been coming to church and it's getting worse in your life. Hang in there. God's plan and purpose hasn't changed. Sometimes He has to shake the things away from us that's got us bound that we don't even know it. Amen? Sometimes we're bound by things of pride and stuff like that, you know? Oh, God's okay, I always thought, but you know, I'll provide for my family. And praise God that He shook me enough. And here I am today. And me and the sheriff get on fantastic. And it worked out great for everyone. He saw everybody's needs. Sometimes we had to shake our comfort zone. Well, may our Heavenly Father bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you. May He be gracious to you. May He turn His face toward you and grant you peace. May you walk in complete victory. May the Holy Spirit fill you. May you feel the boldness He's given us from Calvary. And may you, your household, your children, loved ones, and neighbors come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. May you find favor in the eyes of Jehovah. And may you know the victory is already yours before you even get to the battle. The victory is already yours through Christ Jesus. And it's His name that we pray. Amen.
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 I am blessed.
Are you blessed?
Yes. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning or lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am